Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, wherever you may be, and on rebroadcast, whenever you may be. We're going to be talking about preparation for Passover today. If we prepare for Passover, it will be a more meaningful and more successful time for us. Success is achieving our goals, and we're going to see some goals that we can use for keeping a better Passover today. The Passover is found in Exodus 12, and we're going to read a few verses beginning at verse 19. There are two aspects of Passover preparation. One is the physical and the other is the spiritual. And we're going to do the easy one first. We're going to do the physical. Exodus 12:19, "For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened, that same being shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether sojourner or native of the land. Do not eat that which is leavened. In all your dwellings you are to eat unleavened bread." So we're not just talking about preparation for Passover, we're talking about preparation for the whole feast season of Passover, unleavened bread included. And what we'll be preparing here physically is de-leavening, getting the leavening out of our homes. Leavening is three things. There's yeast, baking powder, and baking soda. And that's all you have to worry about is leavening. There are lots of other things that people have questions about. Yeast extract is not leavening. It's yeast that's already been alive and done its job, and it's now dead. Brewer's yeast is not leavening. Calcium carbonate, I think someone mentioned, is not leavening. It's yeast, baking soda, or baking powder. That's it. Beer is also not leavening. Okay, and the way to check this is to check labels. When you buy something that you think has a possibility of being leavened, check the label and look for yeast, baking soda, or baking powder. And be sure that's out of the house before days of unleavened bread. I like to segregate the leavening in my home. I have a special basket in my freezer that's got leavening in it, and there should be no leavening in any other part of the freezer besides that. Same thing in the refrigerator, in the kitchen, in the pantry. And if you eat in your car, then you have to be sure and check your car and probably vacuum it out before the days. So it's good to plan ahead. Use it if you can. Use it up before the days. If you eat it, then it's gone. And that applies right up until the evening before, before sundown. And if you don't use it, you got to dump it. I understand that there are certain people who in Israel have sold their leavening to a Gentile, and you sell it to them for a dollar, and then you agree to buy it back after the days. That's not kosher. That doesn't work for me. Need to get rid of it and start over again the next year. Okay, and as we said, and as Yahweh said in the scripture, you shall eat unleavened bread, so be sure we have unleavened bread for those 7 days of unleavened bread. could be matzos, but you also have to check the label on matzos. I've heard that there are certain matzos that people have looked at and found leavening in them. kind of seems like it's defeating the purpose, but check it out. And then the other thing we have to prepare for physically is washing feet. And Yahshua washed the disciples' feet. We see that recorded in John 13. And he told us to do, or told the disciples to do as I have done to you. And we do that. And in order to prepare for that, it's good to bring along with you a basin. A dishpan is usually what most folks use, and a towel. So that's another way to prepare physically. And that subject is done. We've got that taken care of. Now comes the more interesting and difficult part, the spiritual. What is Passover and Day of Unleavened Bread about? Well, the answer to that question, I believe, is relationships. I believe that the whole scripture is about relationships, primarily. And from the beginning, Yahweh created male and female because he said it's not good for the man to be alone. He needs that relationship with someone who's balanced with him, in a balanced relationship. The animals didn't cut it. So Yahweh gave him a spouse, a woman to be have a close relationship with. We're intended to have many relationships. We have two different parents. The father is a completely different thing from a mother. Those who have attempted to be both find it difficult. We have brothers and sisters, other relatives, aunts, uncles, grandparents. We also have friends, teachers, and a spouse, as we mentioned. And each relationship has its own meaning and value. One of the most valuable of all of our relationships is the relationship with our creators, Yahweh and Yahshua. Today, this has to be through the scripture that they have given to us and through prayer. Very rarely do we hear about a person who hears Yahweh's voice. I've heard of only a few cases, and frankly, none that I firmly believe are valid. If we want to hear the voice of Yahweh, we should read the scriptures. It's there. I think everything we need seems to be in the scriptures. I do believe many people have seen Yahweh acting in their lives. I certainly have. That probably happens to most of us more than we recognize. You believe in coincidence? I really don't. I think Yahweh acts in our lives. And there's a scripture in Romans 8:28 that says, all things work together for good to those who love Yahweh. And that doesn't happen by accident. Yahweh makes that happen. Okay. We'll learn more about Passover relationships, but briefly, Passover gives mankind a graphic image of Yahweh and Yahshua as our Savior. In Egypt, the lamb is killed, and its blood on the lintel and the doorposts saves the firstborn sons of believers from death. That lamb is a picture of Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh. Passover is also intended to teach us about love and humility among the brothers and sisters in our congregation. Yahshua's teaching, our best teacher, our best source of information, is Yahshua. And we're going to see a lot of his teachings and his example that happened on Passover, Passover evening primarily. Yahshua, you know, has had a school. He invited certain people to be his students or disciples. And schools are known for what they specialize in. Harvard is known for law and medicine. Got good law school. But it's also known for other things, business and sciences and humanities and so forth. Princeton is known for physical sciences. When my children were little, they used to play with some other children down the block, and the mother of those children happened to have been raised in Princeton, New Jersey. And she used to sell lemonade on the sidewalk in front of her house. And sometimes this old guy would come by. The guy had wild hair. He'd come by and buy a glass of lemonade from her. It was Albert Einstein. I thought that was very special. But getting back to the subject, Yahshua's school is known for a few things. It's very high on humility and very high on love and very strong in Torah, too. But love and humility is something that we see a lot on Passover evening. There was a foot washing, as we've mentioned already, in John 13, verses 12 to 15 and 16 and 17. So John 13, 12, "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Now, of course they knew what he had done. You can't have somebody washing your feet while you're awake and not know that it happened. What he's really asking is, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and master, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you," verse 16, "a servant is not greater than his master, nor is an emissary greater than he who sent him. If you know, understand these teachings, blessed are you if you do them." So we will do the foot washing and receive the blessing of doing that if we do it with understanding. So I said Yahshua's school specializes in humility and love. And those two topics go together. You can't have good love, true love, without humility. You can't practice true humility without love. And we'll see what happened in the foot washing. Yahshua demonstrated and taught humility. A few minutes later, we see in John 13:34, Yahshua has another teaching. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And we could set a goal to obey that. And then in John 15, verse 13, we read, "No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Someone told me a few days ago that if you have a song, you should sing it. And I'm going to sing the song now with these two scriptures in it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love each other the way I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is how everyone will know you learn from me, if you keep this love for each other. Greater love has no man than that he gives his life, his life, his time for his brother. You can sing it with me, I'll sing it again. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love each other the way I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you keep this love for each other. Greater love has no man than that he gives his life, his life, his time for his brother.
Hallelujah.
That was the new commandment. And there was an old commandment talking about love for the brother. And that's found in Leviticus 19, beginning at verse 17. Just two verses here. Leviticus 19:17. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprove your neighbor for certain, and bear no sin because of him. Do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And just to verify the source, he says, I am Yahweh. That's where that commandment came from. And it was a good commandment. When Yahshua was asked about the first commandment in the law, he said, you shall love Yahweh with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And the second commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, referring to this verse. Okay. Then in Matthew 26:28, getting back to the night of Passover, Yahshua talked about the new covenant. He said, this is my blood, after you had distributed the wine, given the wine to the disciples, he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, thank you. Grape juice, fruit of the vine, is all we see in the scripture, and that's probably grape juice that he distributed. Sorry. Now, where was this new covenant coming from? Well, we see in Jeremiah 31 the new covenant being promised. It's in Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31. That's easy, an easy scripture to remember, and we need to remember that scripture, Jeremiah 31:31. See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh, for I shall forgive their crookedness or iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now, could he forget sin if we continued sinning? I don't think so. I mean, he has amazing powers, but I don't know if Yahweh would do that. So what's going to happen is that we are going to be changed at the return of the Messiah. We shall be changed in the blink of an eye at the last trumpet. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, thereabouts. And that's the fulfillment of this new covenant. It's promised in Jeremiah 31. It's entered into by Yahshua and the disciples on Passover night when Yahshua was about to die. And each of us enters into that covenant at our immersion, our baptism. Yahshua mentioned a few other benefits of that covenant during Passover evening. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, he promised another helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. And in John 14, 18, he said, I am coming to you. This is the second time we've seen that phrase, I am. The first time he said, I am your master and teacher. Here he says, I am coming to you. He said it another time when they came to arrest him. He said, who are you looking for? They said, Yahshua of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they fell backward. They fell over backwards when he said, I am. I think he said, I am, in the same Hebrew phrase that had been used by Elohim at the burning bush when Moses met Elohim at the burning bush. Okay. And then the third scripture we'll look at is John 15:4. Stay in me to bear fruit. It's the teaching of the vine and the branches. Yahshua said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser. And he explained that like a cluster of grapes on a branch growing on a vine, we are connected to Yahshua. And we get everything we need to do our job, to bear fruit from Yahshua in this way. It's a very close, intimate relationship with the branch being connected to the vine and receiving everything from that vine. Of course, it also gets sunshine from Yahweh. But the vine is the principal nourishment for that branch and enables it to bear fruit. All that fruit comes through that little connection of the vine to the branch. Of the branch to the vine. There's another source of teachings about Passover, and that's from the Apostle Paul. And we'll read that from 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Master that which I also delivered to you, that the Master Yahshua, in the night in which he was delivered up, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. For as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Master until he comes. So that whoever shall eat this bread and or drink this cup of the Master unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Master. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that of that bread and drink of that cup. For the one who is eating and drinking unworthily eats and drinks judgment, and some translations say condemnation, to himself, not discerning the body of the Master. So, we can establish a couple of goals from this teaching that are worthy. I think one is certainly to examine ourselves, to look into our hearts and to see what sin there may be there, what attitudes, what habits of thought we have that need to be corrected. And before Passover, we need to pray and perhaps fast about this topic to make sure that our heart, our soul, is clean and clear before Yahweh. And as to discerning the Master's body, what is the Master's body? It's here. The Master's body is the congregation. And there are several scriptures that teach that. Paul teaches it in Colossians, the first and second chapters. He says the body of the Master is the congregation. And Yahshua is the head of that body. And if we do not discern that the congregation is the body, then we may not treat those in the congregation appropriately as the body of Yahshua. So we must make sure that we understand Yahshua's body. Not just the body that hung on the stake, that suffered that painful death, but also the body that lives today in the congregation. Now, besides Yahshua's teaching and Paul's teaching, I'd like to look a little more in depth at Yahshua's example. Yahshua set the example of getting together for Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread with the disciples. There are several scriptures, I think there's six or seven of them, where Yahshua talks about keeping Passover meal with the disciples, eating the Passover with my disciples. And he did indeed do that, as we just read from the witness of the Apostle Paul. He gave them, he had the dinner with them, the Passover meal with them, probably a lamb. And he also had the fruit of the vine, grape juice, and the bread, unleavened bread, which is commanded during the Passover meal. And he set us that example of doing that with the disciples. And of course, we've already discussed the example of washing our co-members' feet at Passover. Usually it's done before the Passover service. But he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So our preparation has several goals. The physical, as we've just discussed, the leavening and the foot washing and the unleavened bread, and that's the easy stuff, and the spiritual. And I'd suggest some things to strengthen your spiritual preparation for Passover. One is to read Exodus 12 about the Lamb of Yahweh, which is a picture of Yahshua, the death angel. This is a very serious occasion. And the unleavened bread at that meal. And then a somewhat longer suggested reading is John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Seven chapters of the book of John all took place on Passover. And I think it'd be good to read all of that. It's not too much. We've got a couple of weeks to do that in. And it's going to help us to bring ourselves into Passover mode. And I guarantee you'll be blessed. And then examine ourselves. Look for ways that we can improve our spiritual relationships. I said this was about relationships, and I think our spiritual relationships can be improved. We can get to know one another better. We can certainly love one another better. And that's an important thing to do, and that's a goal that we might set, to examine and improve our spiritual relationships. And discerning the Master's body. Think about what I believe and what Yahshua's body means to me today. And we might pray to understand and appreciate the meanings of foot washing, to rightly proclaim the death of the Master. What does that mean? And that's a complex topic. Yahshua's death was, as I said, very painful. And not only had the extreme physical pain of having nails driven through his flesh and his bones even, but also there was the emotional pain, because execution by crucifixion was a shameful death, and people were heaping scorn on him at that time. And he had to withstand that. And we need to understand the body of the Master through 2,000 years of believers. There have been many. And the love of the brethren cost Yahshua his physical life. He prayed the Father to let that cup pass from him. And it had been agreed before the foundation of the earth that when they created man, it was an agreement that Yahshua knew there would be trouble, because man was created as a being of free will and creativity, and they expected trouble from that combination. And they agreed that when that trouble came, Yahshua would have to go and make it right. He knew what that meant. And they agreed together. They said, let us make man in our image. And that was like Yahshua signing his own death warrant. So, I know this is asking a lot of each of us, but I believe these scriptures will enrich your Passover if you read them. Talk with your spouse or your brother or sister about some of these goals and how you are doing as you work on them. Please do not think that this is the only way to prepare for Passover or the only right way. You are a free, creative person, and if you find a way that is better for you, do it. I only hope that I've given you some things to think about.